Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Welcome, everybody. It's Bob, Dave, and Moore here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Look who's back in studio. Dave Wyman back in studio, and Jim's been relegated back to his home studio. Hi, guys.
Hey. How's it going?
Dave, I thought you'd come back darker. I thought you were out there in the sunshine. I thought you'd come back, and all we would see would be your teeth and your eyes.
I basically did there what I did here, and that was stay in my house.
Well, you weren't able to do any yard work out there, right?
Well, no, we didn't. And then there was a pool, and then the pool has like two chairs, and if there's more than two people, nobody else can come in there. So,
oh,
yeah. Gotcha. But anyway, yeah. I mean, it was good to get away. Saw a few Seahawk fans on the way down there, and the conveyor belt to death, which is Palm Springs.
That's God's waiting room.
It is. Yeah, and every like 10 minutes you'll hear a siren. I'm like, oh, there goes another one.
Yeah, it's there in Florida. I've always heard referred to as God's waiting
room. Well, and the other thing is, the only thing on television down there is Matlock and Golden Girls.
They know their audience.
Yeah, so
that's great.
Just getting ready to get back to work here. So excited to talk about sports.
Yeah. Antonio Brown coming to Seattle. I bet you're excited about that too, Dave.
Sure. Are there other people excited about it? How does Bob feel?
I think you know how I feel, Dave.
I do know how you feel.
Yeah. Well, let's let you
weigh in. Should we get right into it?
Well, yeah, because Jim and I spent a majority of the show yesterday talking about it, and we took some calls, took a lot of calls, had a lot of texts coming in, and I would say, Jim, I don't know if you agree, but I would say it was probably 95% against, 5% for.
Yeah, it seemed that way. And everybody recognizes the talent that he has and what he offers in that department, but the other department, no one's too interested in bringing on.
Well, let me ask you this, because, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, how people will make excuses for players if they're really productive or whatever. What if they're 2-3 or 1-4 right now? And the pass game is not going. They don't have any offense going. They don't have any receivers. People texting in. I know you guys probably, you know, you're a very principled man, Bob, and Jim somewhat so.
Occasionally.
How would you feel then? I mean, would you think the same way? And I guess I'm more, you know, asking just the normal fans, but it's, you know, I feel like this is going to be a team no matter what. Whoever it is, they're going to take a look at him. And then, you know, also there's accusations and things like that. Has he been convicted of anything? He's been accused. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then there's just a lot. You know, I mean, that's the thing about it. I mean, if it's one time, whatever. But, you know, maybe we don't know the truth. I'm still kind of a, you know, wait and see how this thing plays out before, you know, we make any judgments. But, you know, I just think that the Seahawks are always going to be in every deal. So that's just going to be part of it, whether you like it or not. But, you know, the fact that they're 5-0 and it seems to be such a good team. And look, I mean, that's the thing about this team has always really had, even Percy Harvin. I mean, Percy Harvin was a fantastic interview. And really, if you wanted to compare two guys, you know, Jimmy Graham, I don't think we ever heard from, maybe once, you know, and he was always kind of, what would you use the word, truculent with the media, not really outspoken or anything. And Percy Harvin was like the greatest interview ever.
He was. And I'll defend Jimmy a little bit. Yeah, he didn't talk to the media, but he was always fairly friendly, and the teammates loved him. I mean, by all accounts.
Did you go in the locker room?
Yeah, I was there every game.
Yeah.
He was, by all accounts, never a problem.
Right.
He was not a disruptor. He was not a good blocker. That was his problem. And they really tried to, you know, form this offense around him. It just didn't work. But as far as an attitude problem, that was not the case with Jimmy Graham.
No, exactly. But, you know, I mean, you still have – and he was buddies with Luke Wilson. Luke Wilson loves Jimmy Graham. That's really all you need
and
to know.
And wasn't he in Russell's wedding, or Russell was in his wedding or something? I mean, everybody liked him.
But, I mean, you know, Percy Harvin was a really nice guy to the media. He just sometimes had trouble with his teammates.
Which is a little bit more important. As important as it is to be good to us, the media, I'd say the relationship with your teammates trumps that just a little bit.
Just a little bit. So, yeah, but, I mean, I think you just have to get used to the fact that the Seahawks are going to look at everything. So, you know, think about Josh Gordon, and I'm just the talent. I was saying this on the huddle. I thought maybe one of the best catches I've ever seen was the catch by Josh Gordon in Carolina last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's the kind of thing that Antonio Brown can bring you, but do they need that? They're 5-0. I mean, you know, so, but they're going to look at it anyway. So, you know, that to me, that's just something I think you need to get used to. They're going to be in every deal, and that's a good thing overall. But as far as, you know, these are accusations, allegations, things like that, I'm not defending him. There's no question. And I guess if just on the surface, if you ask me, and all that aside, we've talked before, and I mentioned on the huddle again, I was never late to a meeting in 9 years, never late. One time I was like got there with 30 seconds to spare because I broke every speeding regulation from Northeast 90th Street to Northwest Bible College. but yeah, that's something that you don't need. You want everybody going in the same direction. You think about the model sort of citizen of this team. For me, it's because of his age and his family and everything. It's KJ. KJ just playing his best football right now, and he's, you know, just the guy you want to hold up there and say, this is a Seattle Seahawk, you know, and then you think about this coming in and, you know, is that going to ruin it or is it going to be like, hey, you're going to have to fit in to where we are? I think it's the latter.
Oh, yeah. If it happened, that's how it would have to happen. He couldn't come in here expecting to be the centerpiece of the offense. And when Jim and I talked about this yesterday, I don't like who he is. I don't like who he is in a locker room. He's been divisive. We've seen that. The things we know for a fact, I know you talk about the legal issues still hanging out there that haven't been resolved, but the things we know about for a fact, we saw on video that he posted for whatever reason, him losing his mind with the mother of his child, him with the moving truck, him, you know, all of the blow up with him and Mike Mayock and threatening him and calling him a cracker and all that stuff. I mean, those are facts. That's not, we're waiting to see what comes of it. You know about that. And then you know who he was in the locker room. He's 32 years old. He's a guy who's not going to get better after sitting out of football. He's not in his prime anymore. I'm not saying he doesn't still have ability. But all of that, you add all of that up, it doesn't make it worth the risk, especially when we're talking about the best offense in the NFL in terms of points scored. There's not a need for him. You ask the question, what if this team was 1-4 or 0-5, and you know, would people view it differently? They might. I think there might be a few people going, well, you know what, they sure could use him because this offense is struggling, but that's not the position this team's in. This offense is absolutely clicking. I don't think you could point to a position group and say, man, I wish they could upgrade that. Where on the offense do you feel like they need an upgrade?
Nowhere.
It just doesn't feel necessary. It certainly does not feel worth the risk. Like, oh, maybe he's changed. Maybe he's humble. Maybe he's not. Why even tempt fate with it? He just is an unnecessary piece.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what are we getting from, like, officially? You know, as far as, because, you know, I've been out of town and all. But, I mean, are they officially, have they brought him in? Have they looked at him? They've said they're interested,
no.
Right?
Yeah, PETA said it. Obviously, Schefter put the story out there.
Well, it was reported by Schefter yesterday that they're one of the teams interested in him among several teams, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, Dave, I just wonder, though, and I know Pete always says that, and it's basically like a no comment come from Pete Carroll when reporters ask him about different things out there. And so he was asked yesterday about it. And, you know, sometimes I just go, well, okay, always compete. We get it. You know, you guys are always competing. You know, it's like, what, you think other coaches and other GMs aren't competing, too? And then the other part of it that kind of irritates me is, like, you shouldn't be involved in everything. It'd be kind of cool if you came out and said, you know, hey, you know what, guys, you know how I tell you all the time that we're always going to be involved, we're always in everything? Well, this is one time that we're just not going to be involved because we don't really like what happened with him in Oakland. We don't like what happened in New England. You know, the legal issues, it's allegations, accusations, we're not so sure about that. But, man, this guy's been a diva everywhere he's been in Pittsburgh. I don't know how Tomlin dealt with him, and I certainly don't want to take that on. We're 5-0. We got DK Metcalf. We've got Tyler Lockett. You know the other thing no one's talked about? How did DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett feel? I'm sitting there going, what? You think I'm chopped liver or something? Why do you need to bring this Antonio Brown character in here? We're not good enough for you? Maybe they don't think like that. Because, again, I'm putting myself in their shoes, but that's what I'd be thinking. If I'm Metcalf, I'm going, hey, Tyler, huh? What? You hear this Antonio Brown stuff? And then you hear Russ talking to the media today saying, yeah, one of the best to ever play the game, wouldn't mind having him as a teammate. What gives? That's what I'm thinking.
Well, I from that standpoint, I guess I'm just like, they're not obligated to you at all, other than they pay you and you go make catches and everything. And they're not obligated to not bring in a guy to look at. So the other thing I would say, and look, I'm just playing devil's advocate here because, again.
Well, where are you at, though? Do you want to see them bring him in or not?
I get back from Murder, She Wroteville, and I'm getting peppered and blamed for.
You're getting blamed? Dave, why are they bringing him in?
Bob,
why are you allowing
answers?
This?
Why are you demanding? It's like you're quizzing me about the offensive line or something. Oh, but, I mean, maybe they're, and again, devil's advocate. I don't think that they owe anything to the players other than to pay them, which is a ridiculous amount of money by most people's measurement. And then the other thing is maybe they're at the very beginning of their due diligence. You know, yes, they're starting to get to look at it, and you know we haven't heard yet. You know, maybe it's a, I mean, look, they took a look at Colin Kaepernick. And I'm not comparing them as far as like character or anything, but like, you know, that was a guy that nobody was looking at and everybody thought was a black ball thing. And he, you know, they took a long look at him. So maybe they're just like at the beginning of that, you know, that part. I don't know. But, you know, I don't think they need him, certainly. And the things that I've heard from him, you know, the stuff off the field is just totally out there. But then, you know, the things as far as a team and, you know, whether he's showing up or, you know, giving his teammates black eyes or whatever that was happening when Percy Harvin was here, that's not good. So, yeah, it's I'll give them the benefit of the doubt from the standpoint of that, you know, they've been, you know, this is a good high-character team. It's not like this is the Oakland Raiders from the 1960s and 70s.
Well, you know, the thing is, Dave, you know how long it takes to do due diligence with Antonio Brown? It takes about 2 minutes looking at his Wikipedia page. End of story.
Well, I like to think that they are, you know what the great thing
hopefully
about Wikipedia
is? Than that.
Yeah, Wikipedia, anybody can go on there and write things.
No,
that's what's great
know.
About it. You know, that's a quote from Michael Scott from The Office, by the way. Yeah, that's how great that is. I'm not defending him, okay? I'm just saying that maybe they're just in the beginning of really looking at him. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense that they would do this, but, you know, because that's not really where they're lacking, certainly.
Not lacking at all.
So
you got no complaints about the offense.
Right.
Really none. I mean, it's a rarity. You could look at each position. You can go O-line. You can go tight ends, wide receivers, running backs, quarterback. And where's your concern other than hopefully nobody gets hurt? You always worry about depth, but there's not a pressing spot. There's not a need where you're going, man, they've got to fix this hole. You got this hole that has to be filled. You don't have that.
Well, to me, it just looks like if you brought him in. So, what are they scoring right now? 33 a game. I mean, do you honestly think they're all of a sudden going to score 36 or 38 a game? And then whatever yardage he's getting and however many receptions he's getting, then DK Metcalf won't be having as many, and Lockett won't have as many. And maybe that's okay. Maybe that's all right. But I think there's more. So whatever the upside is with Antonio Brown, and people who want him to come in could list, you know, the reasons why they think that here's an upside. I think there's more reasons to think there's going to be a downside to bringing him in than an upside. You know, even with the talent that he has, what he offers you on paper, adding him to the receiving core, there's more of a downside with chemistry issues, locker room issues, those type of things, and it's just not worth taking the gamble on.
Well, I want to play a couple of things. We'll get to what Russell said about him in a moment, but Bobby Wagner was asked about him, and here's his response.
I have not met him. I don't know him. I know people that know him. I'm pretty sure I've seen all the stuff that everybody else has seen, so I don't know if I have an opinion on somebody who's not here yet. Whether he's here, not here, I don't know. But I know that we have a great group of guys, and, you know, I'm confident in the guys that we have.
Perfectly answered.
Didn't really offer an opinion, but showing support for what's in place right now. Like, not expressing concern about a need or, man, obviously this guy would make an offense better. It didn't lean that way at all. Just don't know him, haven't talked to him, but I like the guys we've got.
Yeah, you know what? We should save that clip, and any time in the future when Antonio Brown's name comes up, just push play. it's a great way to put it. I mean, he doesn't know him. We don't know him. We don't necessarily, some of us, believe Wikipedia. And then and everything that's written in Wikipedia. And then
unfortunately most of what's there is everywhere. You can you can find more official.
Yeah. So
news than that.
But yeah, really well done. And look, is Pete and John, are they just going to purposely trash? And then think about it, you know, the team or the locker room or whatever, and also the ownership, you know, Jody Allen. I mean, do you think she's going to want, if these are all legitimate, serious charges that could be brought to him and he could be convicted of, I don't think they want that. So, look, that's let's just say they're in the beginning of it and they don't really owe us anything, and just because they're looking at it, does that make them bad? I don't think so. I think you take a look at everything and just figure it out, and then, you know, maybe tomorrow at this time we hear, okay, well, we took a look and we're passing.
Yeah. Here's a little bit from Russell Wilson, who was speaking with the media today. Here he is explaining why he's got an interest in Antonio Brown.
Well, you guys know that, you know, I've got to know him over the past 4 or 5 years, you know, 5 years, I would say. You know, we spent a lot of time together in California and just, you know, throwing and stuff like that, and, you know, been around each other on different shoots and stuff like that. You know, we've been around each other. I think the reality about Antonio is he's one of the best players to ever play this game, obviously. You know, I think that he's always been a special player in terms of the field. I think, you know, and you know, the reality is with Antonio, he's had some tough moments in his life, you know, especially as of late. And I think that he's gone through a lot of things that he wishes he could take back and do and just, you know, not say or whatever it may be. But I think that he's, you know, a special player for sure.
And then he was asked directly about his thoughts on the allegations against Brown of rape, sexual harassment, and the threatening texts he sent to one of his accusers that included pictures of her children.
I think Antonio definitely has taken those steps in the process. And like I said, nobody's perfect. You know, from the conversations I've had with him, he's really been remorseful and just he's been humbled, you know, along the way. You know, I really, you know, and like I said, I pray that, you know, he can continue to grow just like anybody, you know, and, you know, all the stuff I'm not into that, you know what I mean? In terms of knowing, you know, I wasn't there or anything in that process, you know, that part of it, but knowing, you know, what I know of him and the times I've been around him and that, you know, I try not to judge people, you know, and I think that along the way though, you know, I think it's important that no matter what, no matter if he plays football ever again or not, I think it's important that, you know, that he's surrounded around the right people. I think he's surrounded around, whether if he's here or anywhere else in the world, I think it's important that anybody, you know, is surrounded around the right people along the way. And hopefully he can grow in that process.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Nobody's
perfect. Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, yeah, he's far from that, Russell. I'm not into that part of it. Don't look at the man behind the curtain. No, you don't want to be looking at that. And I try not to judge people. Well, I think that's fair, trying not to judge people, but it's hard not to judge someone like Antonio Brown when you look at the list of things that are going on. The other thing I don't think Russell considers, so like, I mean, there's all kinds of people that we know but don't really know. I mean, how often do you find, and I'm just throwing this out there, like you think somebody has a great marriage, but you don't know what's going on under that roof. You have no idea. Or maybe they have a bad marriage and they actually have a good marriage. But I just, Russell doesn't know what it's going to be like with Antonio Brown in the heat of the battle during the fourth quarter of a game Sunday at CenturyLink Field. And that's when we see that diva part of Antonio Brown come out that you don't want, that might mess with the chemistry and the good thing, the 5-0 thing that you have going on right now. So he sees him in workouts down in L.A. in the off season when it doesn't really matter. And so he's making his judgments based on that. And you know, I might be wrong about that. Maybe, you know, he said he's known him for 4 or 5 years, but you just wonder about why he doesn't, you know, weigh what he knows of Antonio Brown out with what he reads about him, you know, in off the field.
Well, and look, that's, I mean, Russ is just going off of what he knows. And so, you know, hopefully people don't judge Russ either if you feel one way or the other about it. But again, they're in the due diligence process right now. And I know that sounds kind of like we're, you know, researching a company to buy stock in or something. But, you know, you are kind of doing that. I'm just keeping it as far as what they need on the field. Do I think they really need him? Yeah, you always want to get more competitive and more athletic. But they certainly, well, not about certainly, but you could use a talent like that. But here's the thing, at what cost? And that's always the question that has to be asked. Yes, it would be great to have all the upside, but what's the downside? And what's it going to do to your locker room? What's it going to do to anybody else? Just from what we have heard from DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, I feel like there's nothing that could shake those guys. I mean, they have high character. Even Lockett was saying before the season started that there's enough food at the table for all of us. And I believe that. I don't think he's being phony about that. And I don't think he cares that much about, all of the material things that go along with football and the rewards and everything. So I feel like those guys truly are that way. But, if you were to bring them in, if Pete were to bring him in, and there's more momentum about some of these charges off the field, and he comes in and he starts talking about, I need to get more targets and things like that, it would just be shocking to me that they would bring him in. Yeah. Why would you do that at 5-0? So, but maybe there's things that we don't know about it, and we don't know about him. So it's to me, I say let's just calm down and see what happens, and maybe Friday, next Monday, whatever. Yes, Pete. Yep, we took a look at him, and we just decided not to.
We're moving on.
Okay,
let's hope that's what we hear. In the meantime, let's take two.
It's time to take two, brought to you by Infinity of Tacoma at 5.
Take two.
The Minnesota Vikings have traded Yannick Ngakoue to the Ravens after just 6 games. They also found out that defensive end Danielle Hunter, who they had hoped would return this season, will need season-ending neck surgery.
So are they just punting? They just calling it a season? I mean, Ngakoue's been productive for him. What, 5 sacks? 5 sacks so far?
That's so
six
weird.
6 games. They just acquired him, gave up a second rounder and a conditional fifth. Keep them for 5 games or 6 games, whatever they've played at this point. And now they get a third rounder back and a conditional fifth rounder. So almost what they gave up, a little bit obviously 1 round later. But that, if I'm a Vikings fan, I'm going, you're bailing on the season is what this tells me after 6 games.
Yannick Ngakoue should have just followed Calais Campbell up to Baltimore. They both end up there. And, and I was surprised to see the Vikings lost again, right? Did they not?
The Vikings lost again, to the Falcons.
I was just looking at them after that game going, wow, I think this team's pretty close, but apparently they're not. So I want now, all of a sudden, it makes me wonder how long Zimmer's going to last there. But, that's a strange one. And Yannick Ngakoue now, going to Minnesota and there. I'm not sure if that's anything about him, but I would say this better work out for him here. Otherwise, we're going to start to be kind of suspicious about Yannick Ngakoue.
Yeah, well, Bob, you had some of his numbers there. 5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 7 quarterback hits, 5 tackles for loss in 6 games there in Minnesota.
It's pretty productive.
And so I look at that and I'm going, and Minnesota got a third and a conditional fifth for Ngakoue, and he went to Baltimore?
Yep.
Boy, if you're Seattle, wouldn't you have liked to have seen them make that deal? I wish we were talking about Ngakoue today instead of Antonio Brown.
I'm with you.
The Rays opened up the World Series with a 6-4 win last night. Rays second baseman Brandon Lowe became the first player to hit 2 opposite field home runs in a World Series.
Yeah, and that's a guy they were waiting to heat up, and boy, he heated up in a big way in that game, and we talked about it briefly yesterday. I don't have a hardcore rooting interest in this. I'd like to see Zunino win, but that's about as far as my passion goes for either team. I want to see 7 games. Give me 7 games. Let it come down to the wire. Let there be some drama. Let there be some tension. That's what I'm hoping for in this.
Yeah, and pretty cool sort of rebuilding thing that Tampa's done. And then I saw, Zunino getting interviewed and everything. Are we mad at him like we were at Chris Taylor?
No. Jim can play both sides. He's good.
Mike Zunino, awesome guy.
Yeah, I love seeing Zunino, and it's pretty cool how Joe Buck is talking about, boy, look at the way he's blocking all those balls. And, I'm pulling for the Rays. I was happy to see him even it up last night.
All right, there you go. Coming up, the Seahawks brought back a familiar face in Michael Kendricks yesterday, but our resident linebacker was not here. So we'll get Dave's thoughts on that move. Coming up with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
A reminder, you can listen to our show via the 710 Sports app. It's powered by Dubin Law Group. Download it for free. Take us with you everywhere you go. You never want to be without Bob, Dave, and Moore. We'll be by your side. You can listen live, listen to the podcast, all that good stuff. So download that app if you don't have it. It is free. Dave, Seahawks had other news outside of Antonio Brown while you were gone. They signed a familiar face to the practice squad, Michael Kendricks. We were all kind of wondering, like, yeah, he was brought in for a workout, and then we didn't really hear anything. And then they signed him to the practice squad. I love the idea that he's here. I have no idea physically where he's at after, you know, a pretty serious injury. Is he going to need time? I mean, if anybody's going to, you know, buck the trend, if you will, and just jump right in and be an impact guy, it's him because he's done it twice before here.
Right.
But what do you think of that move?
I love it. I mean, the health thing worries me. I've not obviously seen him, but again, I think you pointed this out, Bob, and I noticed it too. He's one of those guys that doesn't need to ramp up. He needs to just get out there on the field. And think about that pick he had in Atlanta last year. He's playing Will linebacker, just sitting back on the second level, reads that perfectly, gets the interception. What do you have, a couple of sacks off the edge last year? Three, actually. So, you know, and then two or three a year, he's a playmaker. That way you can leave, you know, you can put him at Will and then leave KJ over where he's playing his best, at Sam on the strong side. You know, and I think one of the reasons why for KJ, and that's good news for him. And then, you know, I said this, going back to how he played last year, he's better than Cody Barton is right now. So, but
is this commentary on Barton?
No, I mean.
Or is this just.
Well, yeah, sure it is. I mean, look, I think you're always trying to get better. You know, it'd be like asking his Antonio Brown commentary. But I think he's a smoother player. Than Cody is. Cody just needs to be more smooth. I'm just telling you, for all the people that are critical, Cody Barton does a lot of really good, valuable things that this defense needs. But I don't think those are things that Michael Kendricks can't do, because he takes on blocks. He gets so low. He's got a great connection with the ground, is the way I always put it. Like, he's always able to bend and get his hips and his knees down low, and that's what it's all about. It's a leverage game, and he's really uncanny that way. What is he, like 6 feet tall? I don't think they have him listed maybe at like 6'2". Oh, he's 5'11", actually. So, and that really helps him. So, yeah, I think it's a great thing to do, but he needs to come in here and be able to, you know, pick it up. And also, the health thing is the thing I worry about the most.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, they've got lots of things to work on defense, and I can't imagine that guy not being anything but a positive.
Well, part of the reason, last year we know that the Seahawks played so much base defense, and part of it being they weren't thrilled with the guys they had at the nickel spot, but then they also really like what Michael Kendricks brought to the team. They're not going to go back to that, are they, Dave? Because they like Amadi there and what he's been doing?
Oh, yeah, I don't. No, they wouldn't do that. And then, you know, that causes them to have to play lots of zone. So, you know, because you can't have a matchup with him, and especially coming off a knee injury and everything, although I'm assuming he's running his fastest now. But, they won't go back to that. They've got good defensive backs. I think a lot of this has a lot to do with Dunbar. I think if Quentin Dunbar can really get solid and play together with that defense, that's really going to help him. Yeah, I like what Amadi has done. So, still sort of grinding over Marquise Blair. It's too bad. But
yeah.
But, yeah, it's not the same situation as last year. But, yeah, I just think right now he gives you an upgrade at that position. And why not do that?
Well, a couple of comments here. One from Ken Norton Jr. talking about Kendricks and just needing him to come in and get in football shape.
Well, you know, Michael's, like KJ, is a really good football player. He's played for a few years. He has the versatility to play inside and outside for us. But right now, he's coming back from his injury, and he hadn't had a lot of football practice right now. So we're pretty much getting him in football shape, making sure the leg and the knee, responds really well. And then once we get to that point, then we'll talk about exactly how he can help us. But right now, we want to make sure his health is good and he gets really back in football shape.
So getting him up to speed physically, and then Pete Carroll talking about the signing and how it relates to Brooks or Barton.
No, right now it's just getting good football players that are available and give them a chance to compete. It's a long season. So much stuff happens, and we need all the help we can get to endure. And Michael's been a really good ball player, and the fact that he's played all over the place, his experience and all that, we're fortunate to get him on a practice squad right now. He's still a free agent and all that, but he's you know, he's on his road to recovery right now and coming back in, proving that he can do it.
See, with a guy like him in this move, usually you'd say, well, that's low risk, high reward. I'd say this is no risk. There's no risk. You're not financially, you're investing nothing in football dollars. He's not impacting you in a negative way where you're like, ugh, we're going to have to move some salaries around and make room for it. No, you're not doing it. He's on your practice squad. And B, he's been here before, knows the system, knows the guys, and has been very productive. So it's really, if he's physically not able to be what he was, all right. You took a shot on a guy who's a very familiar entity with his team. He's been nothing but positive in his time here before. So if it doesn't work out, I wouldn't be going, well, boy, they really blew that. This, to me, is a no-brainer.
I agree. Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, you have to, and I was trying to say that at what cost, and somebody in the 509 didn't understand that and sent a text in.
Wait, a texter
anyway,
didn't
yeah, hear but, what yeah, I mean, look, this is, it's, you don't want to have, you don't want to be on the hook for a whole bunch of money for somebody that you really don't even know if they can play or not, you know, physically, if he can hold up. Obviously, they know enough to sign him to the practice squad, so, but can he go out and can he be a better player than Cody Barton? And it's kind of a no-risk deal, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, as far as his character goes, I know that there are some people that still think he should be punished and things. I'm not sure who that would be, but yeah, I mean, he's not like a character problem or anything like that in the locker room or anything. So, yeah, nice enough guy, good teammate, everything. Him and his brother knocked down lots of passes. I know that. But his brother being in Minnesota, but he's a really good player. It's just a matter of shape for these guys. And again, when these guys get up to speed and then they get in a game, you really can't get into football shape. You have to just go play games and just be able to get through it. He's 30 years old. So, but yeah, I've liked everything that I've seen out of Michael Kendricks.
Dave, does it say anything about Jordan Brooks at all? You're saying it really doesn't say anything about Cody Barton. It's an upgrade there, but Brooks, well, being a first-round pick, you would think, you know, maybe Brooks isn't ready quite yet to come back from his injury, although it sounds like there's progress being made there, and I just wonder, boy, why wouldn't you get Brooks out there instead of Michael Kendricks?
Well, maybe it's because of his injury, and he's not ready yet.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, and then, yeah, it always means something, but they're just always trying to get better. I mean, they're trying so hard to get better, they're actually thinking about bringing in Antonio Brown. Did you guys know that?
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, we'll have to discuss that later. Coming up, Cardinals coach Cliff Kingsbury spoke to the media today about the similarities between Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray. Let you hear what he had to say coming up with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Coming up at the top of the hour, the Professor John Clayton will join us on the program. Make sure you stay tuned for that. Our player spotlight, I don't know if I said this at the top of the show, but Jamarco Jones will be our player spotlight today. So,
super nice kid.
Nice guy. Line is playing great. So it used to be when we'd get offensive linemen, I'd have a level of apprehension because I was like, man, I just spent the week talking about how terrible this line is. Now we've got to talk to so-and-so, but
it wasn't that you were tearing them down. It was that you were demanding answers from me about the offensive
basically
line.
Everybody.
Or Danny.
Yeah.
Or whoever you were sitting
with. Yeah, anybody that I felt knew the game really well, I would pepper them with questions about why is the line, what is happening here, Russell's going to die, it's going to be terrible. But, I mean, it's polar opposite. The line has been fantastic this year. I've got no complaints. And Jamarco Jones will join us. So
one time I was sitting next to Dory, and there was like a sack back when I was doing the pre- and post-game show, and we were all sitting up there, and you're down like two tables down below, and there was like a big sack, two sacks in a row. And I said, watch, Bob will come over here, and he'll start staring at me and like shrugging his shoulders like, what happened there?
And did I do it?
You did. But not this year.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with your time?
Complain about the defense. Yeah. But meanwhile, Cliff Kingsbury was speaking with the media, talking about some of the similarities between Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray.
Yeah, definitely two of the most talented athletes in the league. You know, watching Russell, the game has just slowed down for him so much. I don't know if I've ever seen a player who's able to survey the field mid-play, survey the rush, and then get his eyes back on the field and find people uncovering. I mean, it's phenomenal. His accuracy on the move, from the pocket to touch, I mean, he's playing at as high a level as I've ever seen in the league. And you know, Kyler has some of those same traits, being able to extend plays and make things happen. But you can just see that he's kind of mastered their system and his style of play at this point in his career.
He's right in his praise of Russell Wilson, and I'm sure they're similar in that they're both considered undersized. They're both mobile. I mean, Kyler is certainly faster and more elusive, I guess, at this point, more dangerous with the legs, if you will. But he's certainly not the thrower. He's got a good arm, but the accuracy. We were talking about this while you were gone, Dave. Their game, he goes 9 of 24 in that game for 188 yards, and two of the passes accounted for 140 of those yards. So he didn't have a great day throwing the ball. To me, it was more about how bad Dallas is and how dysfunctional they are. He looks like he's got just a boatload of upside. But at this point, I fear his legs more than I fear his arm.
Yeah, me too. And actually, it's funny. I got home and I was watching that game because I didn't see it Monday night. Mm-hmm. And I was at a point where he was 3 for 13. And bad misses.
Yeah.
Bad misses. But, you know, he makes some good throws too. He's ridiculously talented.
Yeah.
So, by the way, that's Cliff Kingsbury we heard from there. Mm-hmm. Do you guys remember his crib during the draft?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
really nice.
If you go to the coaching staff and look, there's a wide receiver coach named David Rai, R-A-I-H, and I called them Hansel and Zoolander last year because they both had, like, these black turtlenecks on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they both had their fancy hair, and, you know, they both just look like these – I don't know. They look like mannequins that were put on the sidelines.
Hansel and Derek.
Yeah, exactly. But, and they're going back and forth, calling plays. I mean, these guys are the genius play callers. They do have a lot of stuff there that they run. Mm. I've been very impressed with Kyler Murray. And I guess from the standpoint of I'd heard that he was not a great team player and not a guy that was more of a baseball type of player. But he's a lot faster than Russ.
Yeah.
And even when Russ was in his prime, I
he's
think
still faster.
He's a lot faster.
Yeah.
But I would say Russ is still elusive as much.
I think Russ and Jim, I don't know if you agree with this or not, but I think Russ is better at keeping the play alive. So it's not about his speed. It's about just being able to move enough or moving in the right direction to keep the play alive and avoid the sacks. Something Aaron Rodgers does. Aaron Rodgers isn't fast, but he's really adept most of the time at avoiding those sacks, moving just a step to the left or to the right or whatever he needs to do to keep a play alive. And that's what Russell does at this point, as good as anybody in the league.
Well, yeah, that's part of it with him. And the times that he does get sacked when you think, oh, you should have gotten rid of that, Russell. But, boy, the other times when he doesn't get rid of it when you think he should, he wiggles out of it and makes a big play to Tyler Lockett or DK Metcalf. So you just, as Dave says, the cost of doing business there. But, yeah, the comparisons, I mean, you look at two guys, too, that are right around 5'10", the same height. Now, Russell's built better than Kyler Murray, and Murray just seems he's got those quick little feet. And I try and think back of what Russell was like back in 2012 and 2013, his first two seasons. And, yeah, again, a lot of similarities. And then stats-wise, you look at it, too. Russell was a 64% guy his rookie year. Kyler Murray was at 64%. Murray threw for 600 more yards than Russell did, probably letting him be less of a game manager than Russell was in that first season, because as I recall, the first time Russell threw for over 300 yards was against Atlanta in the playoffs. He never had a game over 300 during his first regular season. Russell's quarterback rating is higher back then as a rookie than Kyler Murray. Russell at 100 and Kyler at 87. But, yeah, I can see why Kingsbury made those comparisons. And, you know, Russell, we know, takes better care of the ball, too. He's got fewer turnovers interceptions-wise. But, yeah, it's going to be I love that they're going to play this on Sunday night now and have this matchup with these two quarterbacks.
Yeah, I was looking at the yardage, too. Here's the other thing with Russ. He's number 13 as far as just total yardage, 1502 in the NFL quarterback-wise. And right behind him is Murray at number 14, 1487, so really close there. But Russ, 19 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Kyler Murray, 10-6. Russ is 73%. He's 66%. His quarterback rating is like 40 points higher. Mm. And then the yards per attempt, that's the thing that's really impressive. And this goes back to offensive line play, Bob, that you were talking about is so good this year, is that, you know, yards per attempt, Russ is number one. I think he's tied with Deshaun Watson, 8.9. which is high, and number 20 is Kyler Murray at 7.3. So he's more, you know, shorter passes, check down. Russ is a way, way better deep ball thrower, but he does have some zip, and I think Quandre Diggs have something to say about that.
He does have something to say.
I think a lot of people overlook that he actually can throw the ball really well. You know what I mean? I think I've been watching Kyler for so long. You know what I mean? He's a Texas guy. He's never lost a high school game. You know what I mean? So I've always kind of knew of who he was. I always watched him, and you know what I mean? He's always thrown the ball extremely well. He's a baseball player. He's quick. He's fast. He can do everything. You know what I mean? So I never sleep on him throwing the ball because, you know what I mean, everybody's so going over the top about how crazy of an athlete he is, how fast he is. You know what I mean? But, like, he can throw the ball really, really well, and he can throw it really accurate. So I'll never overlook that.
Does he have a state championship? Quandre?
Says he's never lost high school game.
He must have more than one.
I would assume.
Sounds like four state championships.
Yeah, right? Never losing. But I like that attitude, whether he truly buys that or not. You know, I'm sure he does. But I like that attitude of not, because he can hurt you. He's not inept by any stretch. But I was saying this yesterday to Jim quickly before we get to the break here, is that if I have to pick my poison with him, I want him to throw the ball.
Yeah.
He scares me much more with what he can do with his legs than he does with his arm. Not that he couldn't beat you with his arm. He certainly could, but I think his legs are more surefire, more consistent than his arm is.
Yeah, so. He's on a pace to rush for almost 1,000 yards. He's at 986. He's got 370 through six games.
Running quarterbacks are a nightmare. Absolute nightmare. Do you guys remember Steve Young would always run a quarterback draw down inside the 10-yard line? Because I do. He ran it against us a bunch of times, including the game where I think they put up like 600 yards on us. But, you know, especially down in the red zone, you see him using him a lot out there. And even when somebody has him, still, really quick, before we go to break, remember Rasheem Green's open field tackle of him last year? I could not believe that, because that's a nightmare, trying to tackle him in midfield with nobody else around. And it was almost like perfectly executed. But other than that, I see him juking like DBs. He got a guy from the Detroit Lions. He's still picking his jock strap up down there in Arizona, because it was just like he had him dead to rights and he just whoop right around him. So that guy's a nightmare. Extra meetings, Bob.
Extra meeting guy, most certainly. All right, coming up, we'll get the professor's thoughts on Russell Wilson's comments today, find out if he sees the similarities between Russ and Kyler Murray. Also, your questions. If you guys have any questions for John, text them in right now to 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. We'll speak with the professor next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.